The 580 Show. Let's go. The 580 Show. Let's go. The 580 Show.
Hey everybody, before we get into this week's episode, this is Dante from the 580 Show. I just want to remind everybody that we are doing a strongman contest giveaway. All details are on the YouTube page. Please go subscribe to the YouTube channel, check it out, give it a like, a comment, and everything. All of the above. Just quick shout out that we are still doing the giveaway. Once we hit 700 subscribers, we will pick somebody for the winnings. So if you were interested and have no idea what we're talking about, go check out our YouTube channel at 580 Barbell on YouTube and go give it a listen. Thank you and enjoy the episode.
All right, episode 142. Josh Kovalevsky. Did I do it good?
That was better than before.
Well, welcome to the show, man. I'm glad to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So just a little intro. Obviously, the Arnold World Champ at 80 kgs this year, two-time top five at Worlds, and just a super accomplished lightweight strongman. I think the first thing I wanted to say about you as a competitor is myself watching you, I'm trying to think how to say this, is your growth has kind of been, just looking back at your old training videos, everything has been like a really organic and slow growth. And I think that's more true to the common strongman, if that makes sense, versus someone that just kind of bursts onto the scene. And people may see someone like you, top five at Worlds, winning the Arnold, and think, oh man, like I'm never going to be able to be like this guy because he just is so strong and impressive, which you are. But like, I was watching old videos of like you in like the beginning of 2017, like just starting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's really, really cool to see an athlete like that, of the really, like I said, organic growth. So can you kind of talk about just like what it's been like these last like 6, 7, 8 years of getting to where you're at now?
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's really funny. I always say like, I've been training for a really long time, you know, like athletic throughout my whole career and everything like that. But and weights are always involved in some aspect of my life. But it was back when I did my first competition, it was like it's like you say, it's so funny looking back and just seeing like the way it goes. My first competition, I had never put tacky on in my entire life, and we had a stone to shoulder, like just being so unprepared. We had like a 175 farmers going down and back, and I was just so jacked that I was able to do that. And I'm like, it's just hilarious looking back where it's like everybody has this level of growth and everything, but definitely had humble beginnings. And I would say it's hilarious because it's somebody that I skipped out on going to OSG the first year that they did it, and I ended up going the second year. So 2018? Yeah. And it was funny because even after the fact, it's like, it's been a slow build and everything, but even all the way back then, I think I would have been able to make top 10 at OSG. But I've never really been the type of person to just go just crazy all in. Like, I want to have the slow build. I don't want to get injuries. That's one thing about my career. And I don't want to fucking jig. But can I swear on this podcast?
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to fucking jinx it, but I have never had a serious injury. I've had, you know, like little issues here and there, but never had anything where it actually took me out of training for a substantial amount of time. And one of the things that I can attribute that back to and my longevity and just the way that I've approached my training was even after I'd started strongman, did that first competition. I think my max at that point, my max deadlift at that point was 425. Fucking shit form, rounded back, like my lower back felt like it was going to explode for 6 days after I did a deadlift like that. And I spent 9 months just doing my deadlift. I went down to one plate and added like 10 pounds every week until I had perfect form. And if you watch some of my deadlift videos now, like, fuck, I just pulled 625 yesterday and it looks exactly like a 525. Like, it looks exactly like my 405. It's identical. And it kind of, that's just been my mentality. I had the slow build, don't rush things. There's a lot of guys that have rushed on the scene and then they just fizzle out within a year or two. I think everybody's seen it happen. It's a bummer when you see it happen because there's so much talent. And I just don't want to be those guys. I want to be around and hang out with my boys for a while longer.
Right. It's funny because strongman and like just strength training in general is like synonymous with like a lot of injuries and a lot of the old school things. And the more and more I talk to people that have been really good for a long time and accomplished, they actually are saying what you're saying. Like,
yeah,
the marathon, not a sprint mentality. I talked about it with Terry Rady last week.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I've never been hurt. Like, besides, like you said, like little, you know, bumps and bruises, strains, yep, and stuff like that. I think that's interesting. Obviously there's exceptions, people that have come back from super crazy injuries, but I think that
it happens.
I think there's something to it. And it's so funny. Like you said, like looking back at those old training videos, like my first ever strongman comp, I missed, it was a max log. And I missed a 170 log.
Like
and it's so funny. It's like so cringy to look back, but then it's also so cool to look back and be like, that was only 4, 5, 6 years ago. And like, dude, where can I be if I stay healthy for another 3, 4 years, 5 years, if I keep hanging out, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and there's a, you know, I think it's easy. There's a lot of young guys that really are going really hard. You see it across everything. It's not even limited to just strongman. Look at these powerlifters. Right. Like, what the fuck is happening in powerlifting? These, like, I saw an 18-year-old pull 750 yesterday.
Right.
No, with no straps, no, like, clean. It was what a passing comp. Like, that's fucking crazy, man. But in our sport, at least, look at a lot of, like, where a lot of the success has been. I mean, like, Tommy was damn near 40 when he won OSG, you know, right. Like Nate wasn't a young buck back when he won. Like the people that are really at the top in our sport, like, you know, there's a couple of these young guys, but
look at Richie Stout too. Richie Stout's been around.
Richie, forever. Man. Like
even like other classes, like Andrew Clayton, like he's still kind of young,
yeah,
but he's the weird guy that started strongman when he was like 14 years old.
Yeah.
So he's actually like 50, really, you know?
And Clayton's body, he has put his body through some shit. That's for sure. And like he went all in early at an early age. And yet, I mean, he was gone for 3 years at least. Right. Like,
right.
And he comes back, but we could talk about that a little different another time, but his mindset, it's like, I've got my own opinions about him, but that's fucking crazy what he does. Cause if he decides he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And nobody's changing his mind. He's just one of those dudes.
Yeah. And you mentioned when you were talking about like even before strongman, like weights have kind of always been a part of your life.
Yeah.
What was kind of like your background like leading into strongman?
Yeah. So leading into strongman, I actually played football at a collegiate level for a couple of years. Back at that fight, I mean, full disclosure to everybody, I've almost had the exact same body now as I did when I was, you know, 18. So like I weighed 180 and I was, you know, 5'6", 6.5", I'll call it 5'7", on a good day. And playing collegiate football I played D-back. 5'7", people that are 5'7" don't usually stick around too long. So I got my playing time, you know, I got my experience in it and everything. But I was a gym rat. I was always in the weight room. The year before I ended, I stopped playing. Like we did our testing day and it was, so I was the only freshman that I put up 225 for 18 reps. And the only guy on the entire team that put up more was a guy that ended up getting tryouts with the NFL and he got 19 and he was a D lineman, like a 340 D lineman. So like I've always had this level of strength. Like I wouldn't say my genetics are great, but if you look at my parents and stuff, you wouldn't say like, well, that guy, like I bet that kid's their kid is just a monster. Like that's not the way it works.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of time in just like an athletic background. So I think that's shit. People like Mitch Hooper, very good example of that. Like he was a runner before this. Like very few people that are successful come in without a background out of like, you know, football, soccer, rugby. There's a lot of these guys coming in and they're the ones that are the freak athletes and aren't the guys that are just huffing and puffing while they got to do a 3-unit medley, you know?
Right. So what was your intro then to strongman? Like how did you...
Bro. I was hoping you're going to ask me that.
Yeah.
So my introduction to strongman I'm going to shout out my mom here because she was the one that put me onto this. Like back in, like when I was a kid, I used to watch World's Strongest Man. Like when I was 10 years old, just watching, you know, like Marius and Brian Charles down the
like scene. The Christmas Eve time when it was like it would be on ESPN or whatever.
We had that shit on ESPN too. Like anytime it was airing, I would end up popping it on. Like it was that type of thing.
Yeah.
And like it was crazy. So I was super into it when I was a kid. And I would love watching that stuff. And then I just never like kind of fell out of favor. I started playing football and whatnot. And then I find out that there's like I saw a poster at my gym back in Minneapolis. Shout out Los Campeones in Northeast Minneapolis. And they were putting on just this janky in the park show, you know, like fucking Atlas Stones on grass and stuff like that. And like, but yeah, everything was on grass. It was just wild. We had a barbell max clean and press, and I had no idea how to clean a bar at all. Like that type of shit.
Yeah.
And so like that was my first contest, and it was the week before I got married. And my one requirement for my wife was just don't get hurt training in it. And don't you dare get hurt at that competition. Like I need you to be able to walk. So we made it through that one. And that was when I started finding out about, you know, USS, kind of went down that path for a few years, found out about OSG, and yeah, kind of rest history. I don't have one of those, the typical story where somebody's like, yeah, I competed. I signed up for like 10 competitions and I just couldn't stop competing. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
I hate competing. Competing is not why I do this. Like it's that day of stuff. It's just it's a showcase to get it done. But by the second event, I want to get it done. And that's why I work so hard, because it's that like faster. I can just say like, I gave it my all and I'm done with this. Like the happier I am.
So is that more that you enjoy like training and the process of it?
Yeah, like I really like the training. I like the process of it. I really like the peaks and valleys that come with it, right? I think that's something that as you mature as an athlete, it's a big deal, just kind of taking those as they come, because these valleys aren't necessarily a bad thing. It's just like what comes with strength, your cycles and like how your training's going, everything like that. So it's just that's made me a lot more like mentally strong and being able to, you know, focus on the right things at the right time. Like kind of like we were talking about before, just not rush it, you know?
Right. Do you train with a training group? Do you train alone? Do you train?
So previously I did, I trained. So at the beginning of my career, I started just training at a gym. And there were like a handful of other weirdos doing a strongman with me there.
Yeah.
Nick Gagnon.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
Yeah. That's that. So kind of crazy. People don't really realize that like two of the best lightweights in America, like we're not necessarily training partners, but we trained together plenty of times. And
wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
I just now realized, I just put that together that you guys are right from the same area. Cause you're from Minnesota as well. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I think he's one guy in the class that does not get talked about at all. Like on
none
podcasts, on anything. I think it's just maybe cause his low profile. Whatever. I'm so thankful that I did get to compete with him at in 2021 Nats, because it was funny. I went up to him and I was like, he was like the guy I watched when I first found out about strongman, because you start watching people your size and stuff. And he went on that tear at Nationals for so long.
Dude, at strongman, was it 4 years in a row?
I think he won. Yeah, I think he won at least 4 years, and it was all in a row.
Yeah.
And if you watch the guy train, it makes no sense. So dude. I mean, but maybe it does make sense because you did it, and you're also incredible with all the same stuff he's incredible at.
Like, yeah.
I watched him. What did he do? Sets of like 20 sets of 10 or 5 on log, like just over and over and over, like just the craziest amount of volume I ever saw.
And he doesn't. I'm not trying to shit on him at all.
Yeah.
His crane training makes no fucking sense. None. Don't get
there's
it.
There's but people it like matter. That though, right?
Yeah, just... It doesn't matter because it makes sense to him. He's put in the time, like he's not just some idiot going into the gym, like and just throwing shit around. He goes in there with a plan. The plan just makes no sense to anybody except for him. And yeah, he's doing 20, 30 sets of log at like not light weights. He'll do sets of 5 at like 250 clean each rep. It's just fucking nuts, man. He doesn't quit. Everyone looks the same. One of the best log presses I've ever seen in my entire life.
And he is too. It's like, I mean, and then you're thinking about like 150 reps, clean and press every rep at that weight. And like, if you do strongman, you realize how crazy that is.
Yeah. It's like, fucking nuts, man. And yeah. And like, and as an athlete, yeah, you've competed against him. I know a lot of people listening probably competed against him before. Like, I got to tell a Nick story really fast.
Yeah,
so,
please.
So OSG, that was 2019. So OSG in 2019, the year Tommy Lavelle won, I was at the top for almost the entire weekend. And going into day three, me and Tommy were like, I think we had like a half point split between the two of us. Nick, I had seen how crazy Nick had been training. Like, he was peaked and ready to go. But he just had underperformed on a couple of like little things here and there, dropped a couple points. And that night he still made finals. He was convinced that the night was just done. And we were crashing together. So we had a room together along with one other strongman. And we're all like hanging out, we get dinner and stuff. And then Nick, before we go back to the room, he just decides he's going to go for a walk on the beach or something. Right. And he's just going to kind of clear his head and everything like that. And I don't know if everybody out here knows, but Nick's nickname is the Nightmare. Nick, the Nightmare. Right.
Yeah.
And that he comes back at, fuck, it had to have been 2 or 3 in the morning. Like, it was late. And it didn't say a word to anybody, just went to bed. And then the next day he just fucking annihilates finals, like absolutely annihilates it. And and it goes from, I think he was in like 7th or 8th place, ends up taking podium, like huge comeback. And I'm just convinced that he made a deal with the devil on the beach that day. Like, he summoned the actual nightmare, and right. That guy came through, and that was incredible.
Did you ever ask him what he did when he was like gone that long?
I'm a little afraid to ask him, man.
Yeah, I would be.
I don't know what happened.
Like, it's so funny because like I said, I started watching him because like you, when you get into it, you're like, oh crap, there's like the Arnold and stuff like that. And I would see him, and the guy was like mysterious because like he didn't have a social media or anything like that. So yeah, I'm glad you mentioned him, because he's like, I think he's one of the guys when you talk about like really great lightweights that have done it for like 10 plus years.
Yeah.
He needs to be mentioned.
Yeah, he doesn't get the credit he deserves. And it's crazy because it probably comes down to just his Instagram following or his presence. Yeah. So stupid. Man has a podium at OSG, Arnold win, like four, he got second place in Arnold, 4-time national champion in a good weight classes, like not at a time when the weight classes started to fall off a little bit at the national level. Like,
yeah. And the year that the year he was like really hurt, he was still like top 5 or 6 with like the year Andrew Haines won.
He was beat.
He was really hurt.
Like really, really hurt in that. And he took that into OSG too. And I could see him making a comeback. I know we don't have to talk about him too much, but I know that he's ready to come back whenever he wants to. I think that he's getting his mind right. He's getting his body right. And, if he decides to come back and compete, he's going to do it. And he's going to really surprise a lot of people that don't remember him.
Yeah. I'll be excited to see that. Yeah. The main reason having you on this week specifically is because next weekend, if you're listening, when this drops, is the Pro Strongman League 80 kg World Championship in Huntington Beach, California. Yeah. The lineup came together, and it's a pretty crazy lineup with yourself, Dean, McVee, who's podiumed at OSG, just won Britain's strongest, or just won, OSG Europe's.
Yep.
Richie Panganiban, another tough name to say. I think I said that right. Maybe.
Panganiban. Me and Ricky are going for it for the hardest name to pronounce in strongman right now.
And he won OSG in 2021.
Yep.
So
podium in 2022.
Yeah. So an insane amount of people. And also probably he might have won Clash previous to Pro Strongman League was Clash.
Yep.
If he didn't have a mishap on the stones, which I was when I was watching. I think it was cramps, maybe something like that. But
yeah,
I think probably could have won Pro Strongman League, Clash, whatever you want to call it, last year as well. So
yeah.
How are you feeling for that show? How are you, you know?
Dude, we're feeling good. We're feeling great. We're feeling really good right now. I think my peak is hitting at the right time. Right ahead of OSG. I switched coaches and joined the MST systems.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, man, we'll talk about them too. great guys. I think that they've really kind of diversified the way that I'm training, and Danny Ashcroft will know this, my coach, but I'm training less than I ever had before, and I'm getting stronger than I ever had before. Which at my age is definitely something that's very helpful, like training less and getting more out of it. Right. So I appreciate that from him, like more than anything, just being able to hack my body and kind of listen to the way that, just the techniques that we need to use. And, they're great. So feeling good about PSL. I think they're really, really good events for me. The lineup's awesome, but,
can you run through the event? Can you run through the events real quick?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm going to try not to forget any, cause this is, full disclosure to everybody on here, I am fucking terrible with reading rules and stuff. I see the event and I assume what the rules are. I just use common sense, and sometimes that's not the way that it works.
Yeah. So, I know there's the axle clean and press ladder.
Yep. Axle clean and press ladder. We're going 235, 255, 275. I think that's gonna be a great one. I think there's gonna be a few of us getting some good reps there.
So is the last bar for reps?
For reps, clean once, you can drop it and repick it, but you can clean.
So that should be a really good event for you. So
that'll be good.
That's another thing too. I didn't really mention when I was, cause I kind of at the beginning just breezed over your accomplishments. Yeah. I remember I had seen your name and heard of you just talking with other guys and watching some of the bigger shows like OSG, but you won the press, the Viking press at OSG last year.
And the year before, the last time they were Viking press.
Because I was watching it and it just, you blew everyone out of the water pretty much on that. So you're a really good presser, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So
yeah, well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So that for reps, I mean, 275 for you, that should be a lot. I don't want to say reps that you're going for because listen to this, but that should be a really good event for you.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. We're definitely going to be pushing on that one, this is going to be the tough thing about PSL, it's just with that first event, especially, just what your draw is for that first event, what order you're going in, mm-hmm. because between Dean, me, and I know damn well Ricky's a good presser. So I think that there's a huge opportunity for people to get reps there. I know people are going to get reps on the 275, and I'm just going to make sure I'm one of them.
Yeah. And just to kind of back up what you're saying is the way that Clash and PSL has always done their thing. I actually love it because everyone, I mean, I like it from a spectator. I don't know how much you like it but at the beginning of the day, everyone has a number and you pick a number out of a hat, and that's literally the order and the pairing you go in.
Yeah. So for the whole day.
For the whole day. I don't know if I like the whole day. I don't think I like the whole day. I like that for the first event.
Yes. I'm 100% okay with that.
I actually bit my tongue when I started saying it because then I realized it is actually the whole day. And I would prefer if it was – I like it for event one because you're not catering. The thing in strongman is always at the amateur level, and I get it. You cater to who signs up first. It's fine.
Yeah. And as a promoter.
Yeah, as a promoter and at the amateur level, it's like you're trying to get people in. And the first event, see, the way I do it is typically the first event is usually a max. So I try to tell people it really doesn't matter anyway. So we're doing a show like if I had a max circus, mm-hmm. I would just have it. And because whoever takes it's going to take it anyway. But
yeah,
but if the first event isn't going to be a max, I kind of like that random drawing. But I do wish
I do.
Because you could have someone like you and Ricky, I think will be pretty close, and you guys are, or you and Dean, you guys are
me and Dean.
You and Dean are very like, I've never met Dean. You guys are very similar built, athletes, and so you could go first in the first grouping the whole day, and Dean could go last the whole day, and he could really chip you.
And, he could,
you know what I mean, or vice versa, and.
That's part I dislike is because I think it's totally fair for the first event and everything like that. I love what you said about it being a max. It doesn't matter if it's a max, but this one's four reps, especially for going head to head. This would be a fun, like, this is a good event for if I'd like it if me and Dean were going head to head, because at OSG last year, I sat there. If you watch my video from that, I get to 12 reps. And then I stop and I wait for about 15 seconds and I pick it back up and I bang out the last three and I get the last one with like 5 seconds left. And the only thing I could see in front of me right behind my judge was Dean, Scottish ass, just yelling like a fucking madman, waiting for, because he's cheering me on. He obviously wants me to go do good and everything. And I just make eye contact with him and I just give him one of those right away. So that man, he and I get along really well. And I think that we're going to push each other on that event for sure.
Yeah.
And the whole day, man, we're going to be pushing each other all day.
I think so too. I always root for like that one really good pairing where it would be like just by fate is like you and Dean, Nick, you know what I mean? It seems like at a lot of Clash or PSL events, there is always that pairing.
And I see that that's probably what it's going to listen. If we don't have these rules out yet, but I know that me and the other guys are going to be pushing heavily to do, you know, random for the first event as it should be. And then reordering after every event afterwards. I know that wasn't the way they did it at Clash last year. So I'm hoping to make some positive change about that because it's going to be most beneficial to the live stream. Like, somebody might zero the press and they might be an okay deadlifter. Sure. But like, that's not, if that type of thing happens and then you have somebody that's getting reps at on the deadlift and then next to somebody that's zeroing it, like theoretically, it's not a good pairing.
Well, it's like if the Super Bowl was like a team like the Kansas City Chiefs versus like the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, you don't want to go down to Stones or whatever the last event is and then have the first person versus the 12th.
Exactly. It's terrible. Yeah. It's not good.
Better for viewership. What do you think about the, before we get back on topic with the events, whenever they do based on the previous event?
I still don't like it because you're reordering it. Like you're doing the reordering work anyways. Just do it. Yeah. Who's at the top. And if you're doing it based on the previous event, I mean, like at my level, and the level with a lot of the guys that I compete with, like you're not going to jump from first on one event to 10th on the next event. Like there's very minimal moving around. So it's good to compete against other people and stuff, but like, I definitely prefer just reordering.
I was just curious. Cause the way I would do it, if I had my complete say, the way it would be random first event. And then based on the previous event, and then for the very last event of the day or going into the finals, if it was a show with the finals, like OSG or the Arnold would be based on overall.
I think I could get behind that.
I like seeing a little bit newer people around people. Like, so you're not like sometimes shows tend to get top heavy. Like at amateur level and stuff like that. So it would be cool if there was a good deadlifter, he would get to go against the guy that was the good presser, even though one's in first and one's in sixth, but there's a million different ways to do it. I like reordering based on previous and then finals or just final overall.
Yeah. That's
the only way I see to do it.
Yeah. I think my go-to would just be overall standings.
Yeah.
But I do like regardless of placing, I do like the idea of like, hey, let's say two dudes are tied. I don't care if it's fifth place, 10th, like for ninth place, whatever it is. If they're tied, let's let them go head to head and 100%. Like let's determine who's the winner.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's badass. Yeah.
That's one thing I think with like Pro Strongman League is that they have the advantage to make shows cooler, and I hope they do, is because you have like you only have 10 to 15 people at your show. Yep. It's a lot easier to run a show when you have 15 people and make it more like do little stuff like that. Like, hey, these guys are in tied for seventh and they're not going to go head to head. Why don't we just flip these two guys? And then, you know, it's a head to head tiebreak. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Grab the athletes backstage and real quick, have a consensus. Like that's I love the tribe mentality on that too. Like where everybody can real quick make a decision on the fly. And, and you see that pro level shows too, when they're, you know, like, two pressers, they agree to split points instead of trying to determine a winner on max deadlift or something like that, right? Like you have they agree to tie, and like I think that's a big part about strongman. Like it gets lost on those bigger shows with that gentleman aspect of it. And, so I think when you have a smaller show, I think I hope that there's some if there's an opportunity for decisions like that to be made. I hope we're given the opportunity to actually capitalize on those.
Yeah, it's one thing you said is like the one. You hear it a lot in strongman is like the community aspect, and it's really, really cool. Like even when you first just get to meet someone, Like, you feel like you've known him for a while. You know what I mean? Like, because you guys have followed each other on Instagram or have mutual friends in the sport. I think that's really cool. You know,
it's one of my favorite things about that. Yeah, man. I'm not a big shot by any means, but every time I go to compete at any of these international shows now or at the Arnold, like, I had several people come up to me and just be like, "Hey man, I've been following you on Instagram for like 3 years.
I probably said that to you at the Arnold this year.
I think,
like,
you might have.
When I got to meet you, because I was like, I'm really excited, you know, to finally get to meet you because it's a person I've watched since I've gotten to it. So it's cool.
Yeah.
And you know, like, just to backtrack real quick, one thing that I thought you said that was cool was that I found success in is always asking the athletes. Yeah. Like, as a on the promotional side, I have gotten so much more out of just going up. Like, I think promoters are really setting, like, oh, we have to do an event an hour, or we, you know, and like, maybe this event only takes 30 minutes, so we can start the next one in 15 minutes. I guess what I'm saying is just asking the athletes at my shows, like, hey, are you guys ready to go now, or do you need 10 more minutes? Like, I had athletes at our regional event this year come up and say, hey, we're ready to go. And I'm like, we weren't going to start till noon. And I asked them all, I'm like, are you sure you're all ready? They're like, yeah. So we get to start 15 minutes
early. Let's do it. Yeah.
Like, I don't think any of us besides like World's Strongest Man have like TV contracts where we have to start at 12:15, 12, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So listening to the athletes, whether it's if they're ready for an event, a role change that just makes sense.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people can get hard headed with they made a role or an event, you know, something to an event where they're like, I have to stick to it now. But every athlete's like, well, this is stupid, so let's just change it.
You can see, you see that happen too. And it happens at the highest level. I mean, like, I'll throw them under the bus. Like at the Arnold this year, like Strongman Corporation just randomly changing out some of the implements for the loading medley without telling anybody or asking anybody. Like, there was,
it wasn't even mentioned to us. Like, I remember because I was talking to Andrew Haynes, and the 200 guys did the same exact medley as us.
Yep.
And it was never mentioned. And like, I think what implement got changed out for us?
They switch out the sandbag.
Yeah.
They added a 300-pound sandbag instead of a keg.
Yeah.
Which, like, two entirely different. And a little bit bitter, because that was the only event I didn't win at the Arnold, because I didn't load the 300 sandbag because I just gave up and I was like, I'm good.
Yeah. It's like the way we trained, like, it was a 5 or 6 implement medley. The actual order was changed too, which made it a huge difference. Wasn't it like our Husafel was, I forget what it was. Maybe it was the keg. There was a couple changes to it, but yeah, little stuff like that. And it stinks, you know, it makes you realize how far we are still from like a mainstream anything. Cause technically a world championship, you know, an amateur world championship and stuff like that still happens, you know,
just little things easily.
We were all warming up for overhead with a football bar. That Alec Patron stole.
Shout out to Alec for doing that. Yeah. Got a few tricep.
He came over to me. He's like, should I take it? I'm like, sure. So I just blame him for stealing it. But yeah, man, it's cool. But let's get back to PSL real quick. So axle clean and press ladder. What else do we have? Do they end with the stone event?
So they're going to end with stones. Yeah. So stones will be last.
That's kind of PSL Clash's thing now.
Yeah.
I actually think
Once we get down there, we'll talk. I want to talk about the approach to that, cause it seems like it could be pretty cool too.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. So I don't know what the orders of the next or the order of all these events are going to be. But I know the next one is, we've got frame for distance. So it's a 70 foot run, 600 frame, I believe. Mm-hmm. Again, that's going to be a great event. It's going to be really good for me. I've worked on my foot speed. I don't walk like a dickhead anymore. I actually take real steps. So I'm shaving off like several times off of my farmers and yoke times, all my moving events. So, that one's good. Super solid dudes competing for that one too. Dean looks like the fucking road runner when he gets moving on any of those events.
I like that. It's a little unique distance too.
Right?
I remember seeing that. I mean, it might just be a venue thing. I think it's cool. Like a long straight shot.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot of fast times on that.
Dude, there's going to be, I'm expecting almost everybody to be sub 10, like anybody at the top sub 10.
I think when you look at top guys in the lightweight class, 600 frames pretty light now.
So
I mean, it also depends on the frame. Every like,
you're gonna piss some people off by saying that, Josh.
No. I don't know. I think a timber frame is a lot different. Like if you just have like a normal like Bardos frame or like a, it's almost just like, it's really like a trap bar run because it's so
precisely steady. Yeah.
I don't know. Do you know what type of frame you guys are using?
We don't know the type of frame we're using yet. I'm sure they might have released dimensions, but I'm not super worried about it. Like my body personally, I have never met ran into a frame where like, even if it's super wide, it's not possible for me to pick it.
Yeah.
I know that's a problem for some people, but my body actually allows that to work. Like I've got long ish arms.
We have frames we use for, we run a show called Battle at the Bridge. So we have frames that look like the Pittsburgh Bridges. They're 10 feet long.
So I've seen those, man.
God, they're really like, they give people a real hard time. Yeah. And I think that's the same thing with like the timber frame. Just what show do we just see the timber frame at that it gave people problems? I can't remember. It was recent.
Yeah, I'm blanking on it now.
Was it Europe's? Was it?
Those were Farmers.
Britain's Strongest Man, maybe.
Yeah, at Britain's, they couldn't pick it or they couldn't hold on to them.
Yeah. So I'll be curious for that. I mean, I think if it's a standard frame, like you said, I think like the top 10, it's like 15 guys, right? I think
the top
10 are going to be 11 seconds, maybe, and under 10 seconds. And
yeah,
one of those events that are like literally a half of a second can cost you 3 or 4 places.
Yeah, those splits are going to be crazy. You drop that thing, you're probably not going to be you're not going to be at the top. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I don't think it's necessarily too light. It's just the level that lightweights have gotten to.
Yeah,
and I hate to be that guy. Like I really do.
Yeah,
because I think it's always like cringy when people are like, oh, you know, an ant's the strongest animal because it's by body weight. But like, if you really do look at the weights that. If you look at a breakdown, it truly is crazy.
It is.
On the world level, if you take a percentage, and I've done it because I'm a nerd with this stuff, but like if you take a percentage, there's times where per body weight, like for a press, and I'm just extra salty because I'm a horrible presser, but the weight for the press is 10% or more higher than our body weight than any other class that's competing, which is wild.
But go on. I've always said, I mean, like we pound for pound, it's just like, it's like people get mad. Well, no, people get mad when we say that the lightweight classes, and I'll even include 90s, like 80s and 90s, by percentage like that, we are lifting more weight statistically. It's not an arguable fact. That is the truth. And people get very butthurt when we say that because like, I'm sorry. And we'll go down this, we'll take a quick aside for me to say,
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
Like if I'm standing right next to an open weight guy and we're lifting, it fucking happened on the Rogue stage at the Arnold. I was the only guy left pressing the exact same Rogue dumbbell next to all of these big guys. The weight looked the exact same. We were pressing the exact same implement. Which one looked cooler? The one where this fat, sweaty fuck is struggling to hoist it to his chest and then missing the press, or me who hits the press and the damn dumbbell is half of my size. Like it is 3.5 feet tall.
What was your circus? What was your exact number that you hit at the Arnold?
So I ended at 209. 209. And like I narrowly missed 221. Yeah. I think is what we jumped to. That's a huge jump at that point. Yeah. But like,
so, I mean, just quick math. I mean, that's like a 350 pound guy doing a what? Four something circus.
Yeah. It'd be in the 400s.
And it just, I understand what you're saying. And I get the people that say we want to see the biggest guys lift the most weights. I get that. They're going for the deadlift record this weekend for the 900th time since Thor's done it, and no one's going to do it again. But if someone did do it, it would be like a really, really cool lift.
It would be, like, yeah. But we, you know, like it's just the like, you know, or a log, like, you know, if we're using the same exact log to the everyday strongman fan, it doesn't matter if that log has 315 pounds that our weight class on it or 400 pounds on it as an open, like it looks the same.
Right.
The implement's the same. It's just as impressive. So I just feel like there's a lot of weight that's being put onto that side of like the spectacle of it, because a little guy pressing the exact same size implement, in my mind, it looks a lot cooler than a big guy pressing that big implement.
Yeah, and I agree completely. We may be biased, you know, but I agree completely. Dude, and I think a lot of these shows are doing a good job at highlight. Like, I hope PSL continues. I hope OSG. I don't think OSG is going anywhere, but like they've obviously set the standard for weight class athletes. We now have a definitive world championship for weight classes. And I don't think anyone can dispute that. Right. Like, no. I think when you talk about official strongman games, that is the world's strongest man without a doubt for weight classes.
Agreed.
And that's not to take away from other titles.
No. Well, and shit, as the Arnold champion, I don't consider I'm a world champion. Sure. But like, I don't feel like one.
No, because I didn't win OSG. You still should, though. Terry said something really cool last week about, you know, if you're a weight class athlete, there's really only four first place trophies in America you can win every year, maybe five.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you have the Arnold, you have OSG, you have the Nationals, and you have now Pro Strongman League. And like, that's so like, it still is, you know, I think it's cool. So.
Yeah.
But okay, so we've gotten way off track, but we have the axle clean and press ladder. We have the frame carry, which is 70 feet straight shot.
Yep.
What else do we have?
We've got a medley, yoke sandbag medley. So this is a cool one because I've only ever seen this in Europe. So I know a couple of guys have done it that are competing from over there. So we've got a 700 yoke, 30 feet down. We've got to run back, pick up a 240 sandbag, carry and load that over the yoke. Then carry the yoke back and run back again to pick up the sandbag and carry it back over the to load over the yoke. So that's going to be
that's a hard event. That's
going to be.
You guys have 75 seconds for that?
I don't recall exactly.
I hope
we don't, because I don't want to be moving for more than 60 seconds.
That's pretty crazy. So wait, how long is the yoke?
30 feet.
Okay, it's 30 feet. 30 feet changes a little bit. I was thinking, you said 50, but that's okay. I think a lot of guys will, I think the top guys will definitely finish that in under 60 for damn sure. But
yeah,
because 30 feet with this, I mean, yeah, that's pretty heavy.
There's going to be some people dying though. Like, I mean, that's going to probably kill all of us.
If you look at the weights, it's like, okay, a top level 80 can do a 700 yoke for 30 feet for sure. And a 240 sandbag is like nothing for our class now.
No.
But it's the transition of the medley. Like,
yeah.
I that's one thing I hate when people look at a medley, they're like, all these weights are easy. But then it's like, well, but you have to do it all together.
So
that'll be a really tough event.
That's going to be a tough one, man. And it's funny. Like, I'm another one of those guys. Like, you know, people don't want, people will call an event like that or long medleys like this, like a CrossFit type event. And I'm like, no, man,
I think there needs to be more of it
more
in strongman and like in online qualifiers. You know, one event I think about that I was just talking to my buddy who's on this pod, Frawley, he's our super heavyweight, is the sandbag steeplechase that just happened. Yeah. Like, I loved that event.
That was sweet.
That was such a cool event. Yeah. I thought it was presented so well. I love seeing events like that. And it's like, it's where I get frustrated. And I understand it's hard, like online qualifiers. Obviously, you don't have to qualify for OSG this year because you made the finals. But like, I'm going through the online qualifying process right now. And it's so, so static where I feel like I'm 90 years old right now trying to max out. Because it's truly three, like, essentially as max you can get.
Yeah.
But then I look at it and it's like, you go to OSG this year. So they're going to pick 10 guys and women from all the online qualifying classes, all static, right?
Yeah.
We're going to go to OSG. The deadlift ladder, although it is a deadlift and it's heavy, it's moving. There's a Go Ruck survival challenge that we don't know anything about yet, but that's, I'm assuming that's going to be very cardio based.
Yeah.
A carry event, a met like a frame into a thing, which is moving. So it's like, you're moving. Like, you're moving, so, you know.
Yeah, this is not the press medley.
Press medley. That's press medley. It's moving. four implements,
dude, like, and one of those implements, or two of those implements, very obscure implements. Like, very nobody new. Has access to a block.
Yeah.
Nobody has access to, like, you can, nobody has access to an anchor yoke. You can still press the yoke, but yeah, right. Like, there's, it's, there's a lot of moving is part of it. And that's one of the things that the 80 class is so good at. 90 class is so good at, is like, we are movers. We're actual athletes. It's anything beyond that. There's obviously the freaks and the 105s. But like, the athletic aspect dies off, and then nobody wants to see some fat, sweaty dudes doubled over on a sandbag because they can't breathe. Like, the medley aspect is something that I want to make strongman more CrossFit. That's what I want.
Yeah, I just think events like that are cool, and I think you test the overall. It's cool too. CrossFit's adapting strongman stuff.
I love it. I love it.
Okay, so axle, the frame, the yoke, and the sandbag. Yep. We know we're ending with stones. What's the fourth event?
Oh shit! You froze me there. I actually forgot what it was. What we're calling a basket deadlift. So be thinking car deadlift. But so we have, again, haven't seen anything about it yet. It sounds like it should be a pretty sweet setup if it comes through. I know they're finalizing fabrication this week, but it's going to be, we're going to basically be loading weight or loading something on each ascending rep. So I think last I heard there were going to be 45 pound jumps. If it does come through and it's as big of a spectacle as I'm hoping it's going to be, that should be a pretty fun one to watch. Yeah, that'll be a cool one.
That'll be a cool event.
That's gonna be a lot of reps, 45 pound jumps, and I think we have 10 total jumps. So it's gonna be a lot.
Yeah, and then we talked about it briefly, but the way that PSL Clash has always ended their shows has been like their kind of patented stone event.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a stone over bar. You know, if there's 15 people, 15, 14 start head to head. And then whenever one of them miss, the next guy jumps in, you can keep going. I really do like that event, especially for their setup, because you only have to worry about picking one weight for like a local show. You know, you can screw up one weight of one class and a group can go for an hour straight. Yeah. I just saw it at a local contest 2 weeks ago.
That's one thing I was I pointed this out to the organizers even when we were doing this, and with this setup, like, theoretically you could have 10 minutes in between the time that you do one rep. If you go first, by the time you get around again after all the other 15 guys have gone, you get 30 seconds.
So you guys are doing it that way.
Yeah, that's the way it seems like it's gonna be.
That's different than what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So 15, 14, 13, 12, everyone does a rep.
Yep.
Oh shit. I thought they were doing it their old way. Cause normally they do 15 and 14.
Yeah.
Head to head until one person falls off.
And then whoever wins that one gets the points.
No, you stay in.
And then 13 comes up.
Yeah. So you can have the most reps. Even if you're in last place, so you can get an event win and just continue to go.
Yeah.
I think it was Clash, their regional ones they do for the 105s in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. A guy named Jake Hare, who is from he's from somewhere in the Midwest. Forget, but super nice guy. I actually talked to him. He did like 44 reps. He was in like sixth place and he ended up like just dominating that event and ended up doing 44 reps to win that event. So that, I don't know which way you guys will do it. I assumed you would do it that way.
Yeah. And maybe we will change it because that, I don't mind that setup. I hate when they do a stone off for in like worlds. I don't like that approach.
That's my least favorite thing about worlds.
But yeah, I mean, that would be kind of cool to start. Like if that's what you guys will do. And so theoretically, like if it's like Jake O'Hara done, or Jake Hare. If he hits 44, he gets that event win.
Yeah.
But it would take somebody else coming and doing more reps. Like so the first place guy would have to get 44 reps in order to beat him.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I'm
down with that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So like the way it is basically once you miss, like I think you have 30 seconds to return the stone.
Yep.
And once you miss, you're out. So say, you're in third Ricky's in second, Dean's in first. And you and Ricky are going, have been going back and forth for a while.
Yeah.
Ricky's at 11. You just returned to 11th. You miss a stone. You're out. Your final score is 11. Dean comes in and he has to go for 11 or more for the event, assuming you guys are in the lead.
Okay.
I've always liked the way they've done that.
If that's a setup, I'm definitely cool with that.
Yeah, I'm assuming because that's how they've always done it. But maybe just because I would – what's your guy's stone?
210 or 310, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 310. Okay, that's a little – that's heavy.
That's me. And it's to 52 inches.
So. Yeah, that's heavy. So, I mean, because I was thinking if it was like a 275 stone and everyone was going through and then you were going again and having theoretically – 8 to 15 minutes. I mean, you would just be hitting max effort singles over and over and just
over and over and over.
Yeah. So I'm assuming they'll do it like you're continuing one set.
Man, we'll I told you I don't really know the rules.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but that's almost good. You know, you don't need to overthink it and stuff like that.
I show up and my goal is just be the strongest. That's it. Like I've got my techniques, I've got my approach, but I hate people. I'm not super analytical. I don't give a fuck about what the weights everybody else is gonna do. I just know that I'm going out there and I'm going to work my ass off every single event.
Yeah, that's cool. So you have PSL this week, and what else do you want to accomplish in strongman? Like, do you have, like, I think it's funny because every top athlete we talk to, I'm like, everyone has a different approach. Like, I want to win this, and I'm done. Or I just want to compete until I'm 40 and I'm done. I want to do
that. Yeah.
What's your outlook on it if you have one?
I want to compete until I'm no longer competitive, you know? And I think that I don't necessarily think that means just dropping out of the top 10 at OSG. This year will be my fourth year going back. I took off 2021, just, you know, personal reasons. So, and I ended up pulling out of that one. But I firmly believe that I would have been pushing for podium or even a first on that show. Even after seeing the performances and everything, like I was in fantastic shape. I don't see myself slowing down anytime soon. I want to get some of these more big wins. Like Arnold is my first international win. I think for everybody in our weight class, obviously OSG win is probably the end goal for everyone.
Yeah, that's
for this year, you know, and it's looking ahead, but I have full intentions of winning all three of these shows. Like I'm not entering a show that I don't think I can't win. And that's, you know, again, I'll sound a little bit cocky, but that's every show for me. That's every show for a lot of these guys, like dudes like Dean and Ricky. Right. They should and could be winning every single show that they enter. They're just that strong.
Right. Well, that's a good goal. Is there anything else like in strongman you wanted to talk about? Anything that came up that we didn't really touch on, like that we kind of breezed past?
Well, and I think that I don't know. I think there's like a couple of things. I think like there's if we just want to talk like training techniques and approaches a little bit, like we talked about it a little bit about my slow build and everything like that. I think I went through a similar growth pattern as a lot of guys in strongman go. Like when you come to an elite level in any strength sport like this, I feel like every one of us has like some demons, or, you know, like everybody's been through some shit, or, you know, they've got other stuff they're dealing with. I've yet to meet somebody that has not been in that boat in some way, shape, or form. And it's just like, I think there's this big push around, like, you know, what should my training cycles look like? And what should my, you know, like what type of gear should I be taking? How much of it should I be taking? And like, what's my nutrition and my recovery? Everything in your, you know, your toolbox, so to speak, people focus on all these other things, but the thing that they don't really comprehend is, like, everybody goes in the gym and they go, oh yeah, this is my therapy. Like this is what I do. Like I work out so I don't go to, cause it's cheaper than a therapist, like that type of shit.
Yeah.
I gotta say that was probably one of my biggest like improvements as an athlete overall, is like getting out of that mindset, because it's not a replacement for like anything. This is shit, like take care of your mental health, whether that's waking up and like taking some time to yourself, you know, reading a book, like, everybody's so pushing so hard to be better in all these other aspects, but they don't want to hack their brain. And it's not the easiest thing to do, but like if you'll see me in between PSL and stuff like this, you'll be able to see the guys that they get so hyped up and then they can't come down, and like they do it at OSG and shit too, and like you just burn out. Yeah. It takes me less than 5 minutes to go from such an elevated state to the point where I'm like, when I'm competing, I'm damn near trembling. Like I am so fired up, but I'm not, you know, I'm zoned in. I'm not like screaming at people. I'm not getting red in the face or anything like that, but I'm just zoned in. And within 5 minutes after my after an event, you know, I'm able to completely down regulate and be laughing and smiling with people like it. And that's just not what some people are able to do. And that like a hack like that, you know, it just figure out your mental, man. Like,
yeah,
it makes you such a better athlete, such a better athlete. And just, yeah.
Yeah.
Just banging your head up against the wall with heavy weights is not an excuse to be a fucking dickhead to everybody else in your life.
For sure. No, I think the people that are dicks typically fade out. I'll be honest.
They do.
For the most part. It's crazy how many like awesome, nice people I've met in strongman comparatively. Like,
There's even some people that were pretty bigger name coaches last year where they're making big waves in the coaching scene at this time last year. And I haven't heard a damn thing from some of these people because they're not necessarily welcome by a huge conglomerate of the strongman community, myself included. So, I like to deliver a little bit of street justice in our, you know, in like strongman, like assholes are not welcome.
They get phased out. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that we kind of breezed over MST systems.
Yeah.
And they've kind of there's so many good strongman coaches out there. I would like to get one of those guys on here. But they've kind of taken over a lot of stuff in strongman coaching. It seems like they're really popular. Putting out a lot of awesome content, a lot of top level guys going to them now. What's that experience been like for you? Like,
yeah, it's been really good. So I've had a handful of coaches throughout my career. Everybody has their different approaches and everything like that. This is definitely my first like full blown hands-on, like very hands-on, talking like technique breakdowns, you know, check-ins every single month. And not just a, hey, how are you doing? Like we're talking for an hour long about everything that's going on, you know, where we're at. So MST is really, really good. I'll do a shameless plug for them because I would recommend them to everybody. If you're a beginner strongman listening to this and you're just trying to get into the sport, they have an app that gives you, you know, your 12-week workout or 12 weeks of like standard beginner strongman workouts. They give you detailed video breakdowns. And it's like $30. Like it's not a lot of money. I would highly recommend starting with something like that. And you know, if you go further into this and like you're at an OSG level, I would definitely say that they have plenty of people that are not, obviously that's where a huge part of their business is, is non-elite level competitors. But the reason that there's so many people coming to them right now is because of the success that they've had at an elite level. I mean, I know like Tommy was with them is with them right now. Yeah. Myself, I know Ross is with them.
I think Andrew,
Andrew just made the jump over to him, and I was recommending him to him too. Like, I better get a finder's fee out of that.
Yeah, right.
If you're watching, Shane, I better get a finder's fee for that one. But they've got elite guys, and shit. They've even got I don't know their full roster on the women's side, but I know they've got very, very elite people on the women's side as well. Some strong ass chicks, like so. I think they're going to be rolling in like 15 deep at OSG this year. So, their styles that they do there. There's a lot of like heavy focus on warm up and like neural priming. And like I mentioned earlier, like my mental hacking and like, you know, down regulating every session, they have a very detailed, like do this to down regulate for 5 minutes, take breath work to calm yourself down. I personally haven't got the biggest benefit out of that just because it's already what I was doing.
That's
something that I don't think you get out of a lot of coaches. Like you're getting several different levels of like how you're, like I said, you're hitting everything in the toolbox. You're getting your warmups, you know, reflecting on what, how that session went, you know, and actually think about this instead of just kind of blindly going through your sessions and just picking shit up and putting it back down. They're a lot more intentional about it. And yeah, I can't recommend them enough.
Well, that's cool, man. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you joining the pod and, you know, obviously good luck at PSL this weekend. You know, it's just to recap, you know, you're a guy that when I was looking back at your videos, you were, I think your first ever actual open show, you barely got third as a lightweight at, you know, at a local level show. And now you're at the top of the world level. So I think it's really cool. If you take anything from this podcast, if you're listening, is like the marathon, not a sprint. Again, that mentality, sticking to the plan, staying healthy and just doing it for a long time. And you'll be one of the strongest guys in the room.
Yeah. Yeah. And for everybody else, it's like the rushing it is not worth it. You will not be happy with yourself at the end. I know it's easy for me to say that, like hindsight being 2020, but it's take your time, enjoy the process. I have used my approach and I have never once not made finals at OSG. Like I went from seventh to fifth to fifth. I feel like that's pretty good. We're going to be improving on that. And I've only gotten better every year. And we're still moving up. So, yeah, let's hopefully it keeps going. We're going to get some more success out of this.
Well, make sure you guys follow Josh and man, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. Josh and Josh Connection.